For a sprawling region like Dallas-Fort Worth, does downtown really matter?
That's a great question. Does it matter if you don't have a really strong downtown Dallas? Mm. You can live up here in Plano and never go into downtown Dallas. There's plenty of cultural options up here now.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not the really fine art stuff, museum, opera. There's plenty to do up here. And if all you care about is a cheap house, not too far from your job, yeah. So, does it matter? I think that is what we need to think about.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for being back with us for a... let me do that one more time.
Whack with us.
Whack with us. Thanks for being whack with us.
Clearly, it's dry January here. Jeez. Because I'm the only one with a beer, man. What's going on here?
Give me something. Let me reorder here. All right. So we are in Plano today doing a podcast about Dallas. I mean, it's about Dallas and Plano, but...
But why are we here?
Why are we here is a great question. Yes. I ask myself that daily.
Back at the Katy Trail Ice House, though, this place is fantastic.
Katy Trail Outpost.
Outpost, the original
one. That's
what
differentiates it from the Dallas location.
The Ice House is the original one on the Katy Trail near downtown Dallas and uptown Dallas.
But like so many, Katy Trail has branched out and headed north, and that's where we are in Plano. You know, for people from other parts of Texas, Plano is just north of Dallas, and then just north of that, you get Frisco.
Yeah, so we're in Collin County, and this is a county that's exploding.
It is.
With population, with business investment, and that's exactly what we're talking about now. You led off the podcast here talking about this is, we're talking about Dallas up here in Plano, and I'm sure everybody up here in Plano is clapping their hands about the big move up here.
Yep.
And then the other news we'll talk about maybe with our guest, the talk of the NHL team.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas Stars maybe moving up here.
Plano's place to be these
days. Collin County clearly are the places to be.
So we got Will Anderson with us here today. He is the editor-in-chief of the Dallas Business Journal. And Will, thanks so much for being on with us. And I'm shocked that this is the first time you've been on the podcast with us.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. So glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
You know, you're the perfect person for this, though, Will, because you all, the DBJ, Dallas Business Journal, was the very first in North Texas or anywhere to announced that AT&T, huge corporate behemoth, a huge Fortune 500 company that has been squarely anchored in downtown Dallas for a very long time, was looking around. They wanted a new home.
Was considering big offices in the suburbs. Yeah, we broke that news in August. And it was kind of the talk of the business town at the time, but no one really wanted to talk about it out loud because it was, I don't know, what does this mean for downtown? It was touchy, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
A few months later, here we are, and AT&T announcing they're going to put their new corporate headquarters in Plano, not too far from here. And huge, absolutely huge news. Obviously, a loss for Dallas, huge win for Plano. So it's kind of the what's the balance? You know, what's the takeaway? So happy to be here and talk about it.
The significance of this, though, is that Dallas has now lost what I think is its last major corporate anchor in downtown. And in the central business district. Now, people at City Hall, the mayor, the city manager, still like to put a spin on this in Dallas and say, oh, but, you know, they just wanted a horizontal headquarters, not a vertical one.
Yep.
And that's why they moved farther north, outside of the city of Dallas. But still, at the end of the day, when you look at this, there's no one else downtown.
But wait, Will was bobbing his head kind of in a back and forth fashion as you were saying that they were the last major corporate anchor there in downtown proper. Why were you bobbing your head?
I think that might be a little bit too far, but you're not so far off the mark because I went and looked at our list of the largest public companies in DFW on my way when I was coming up here, and yeah, so this is our 2025 list, which is based on 2024 revenue,
right.
Last full year of revenue for all these companies. But number one is McKesson. They're based in Irving. Number two is AT&T Dallas. Three, Caterpillar. Four, American Airlines. Five, D.R. Horton. So the only one of the top five is based in Dallas, AT&T.
Right.
So this could change. It's based on older revenue numbers. But all things considered, all things being the same, yeah, you would not have any of the five largest public companies in DFW Metroplex based in Dallas itself.
And Comerica Bank is the last big one there, and it just got bought by Fifth Third, right?
The acquisition hasn't closed, but shareholders approved it, I believe, yesterday,
so
Tuesday. And Kurt Farmer, the CEO of Comerica, told DBJ last year that they're going to have to figure out, now that they're being bought, what happens to their headquarters, because they're based in Comerica Bank Tower there,
yeah, right.
But they also have a huge site in Frisco, and they're going to figure out, well, which one will we consolidate into. So they could leave. Their lease, I believe, runs through 2028 downtown.
And Will...
So, yes, it just adds to the whole... The overall picture you're painting, yes, it's like, what is the future of downtown Dallas?
And I want to get into that, and maybe this is a good way to do it. There was a study that went on not long ago, and it found that property values would decrease in downtown 30% if AT&T left, which would represent about a $2.7 billion drop in property value and directly a $62 million loss in property taxes for the city of Dallas.
Yeah, that was a 2025 study. I believe it was commissioned by DDI.
Yes, the,
so
Downtown Dallas Inc.
Yeah. And Boston Consulting Group, a very reputable firm, did it.
Those are astounding numbers, Will.
I believe it's a $2.7 billion hit total, not just in property values, but that would be decreased spending, right? Because you're not having thousands of employees. They calculated, I was looking at that study the other day, they were like, if 5,000 employees spent $35 a day on lunch, coffee, you take that away over a year. The thing not to think about is the exact dollar figure, because there's guesstimates involved, but to think about the big loss in the billions of dollars and in the tens of millions potentially in property tax revenue for the city, the county, for the hospital district, Parkland, for DISD. Yeah, that's a huge impact.
But you listen to the mayor and he says, we're getting people flooding in. I mean, he has to, you know, but he's right. Saying, we got companies, they're interested, this and that. Can they find somebody to fill those enormous boots in downtown Dallas? This is a 37-story office tower that AT&T occupies there. They've got this huge square that they've invested in down there. Really great place. Yeah. Can they fill that?
I think it might be far-fetched to think of one company filling that.
Yeah.
Because of what you're talking about. Like, the idea of companies wanting to be... Some companies wanting to be in a suburban office campus-style environment. I mean, there are companies that want the dense urban tower environment. But I think finding a single... I think if you ask most brokers or real estate folks, they wouldn't think you'd find a one-for-one replacement for that. Mm-hmm. So what you really need to talk about is, like, what do we want for the future of Dallas, like I was saying? And it's already in this transition away from just a place, like, look, 20, 30 years ago, Dallas was only a place you came to work.
Yeah.
No one lived downtown. Before the AAC was there,
Airlines Center, where the Mavericks play and the Dallas Stars play for now. We have to say that for both of them, yeah.
Yes. So it was a much different place, and it's already transformed into much more of a residential area. You've got 15,000 people, I think, living down there. Events, Clyde Warren Park, food truck. Like, all right, there's all this stuff happening there. There's already this transformation underway. How far does this move you further along in that? And could you come up with a really big, audacious idea to do something else with Whitaker Tower, which is what you're talking about specifically?
Yeah.
37 stories. I think it's 1 million square feet of leasable space. Quite large. 13th biggest building in Dallas, I think. It's quite big. And, oh, by the way, AT&T, like, it's still early on in things. AT&T mate told their employees on Monday about this. We're here recording on Wednesday, and it leaked out pretty quickly Monday morning.
Yeah.
But they were also, John Stankey, the CEO, said in the message to employees, more info is coming. Like, we're still figuring some of this out. And they've been pretty tight-lipped. They haven't said anything publicly since then. They're just relying on that. So they haven't talked about, will they leave some people in that tower? Will they leave some people downtown?
Hmm.
We've talked to some bar owners who are hoping it'll keep some element downtown. They haven't said what that means for the Discovery District, which they invested millions and millions of dollars into. Very popular.
They did a good job there.
Very popular restaurant, retail kind of hub. So all sorts of unanswered questions. But yeah, what happens with Whitaker? I heard some brokers say, what if City Hall moved in there? What if?
Because Dallas wants to move its City Hall, too. They want to vacate.
That's a debate. Or at least they're considering.
There's a big movement to do that.
Yep. So that's up for grabs. I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions, but you would have to think. I don't think anybody realistically would say, what's the one tenant we want to replace AT&T there? Who can we go out and grab? I don't think that's a realistic discussion.
Yeah.
During the holidays, I saw that Wall Street Journal article. If people didn't read it, it talks about downtown Dallas has the highest office vacancy rate than any other city in the United States, 27.2%.
Besides Seattle.
Was it
one
or two? Yeah.
I think Seattle was behind us. I believe
it's
high. But
it's
either
high.
Way, it's a problem for downtown Dallas. Is the problem people wanting to get out to the suburbs where folks don't have to commute as far, or is the issue the urban environment, crime, homelessness? What do you think the issue is here?
It's an interesting question. They're inherently kind of tied together. Like, you can say, we just wanted a bigger campus. We wanted a suburban campus. What does suburban mean? It means you have acres of parking lots. You're not walking multiple blocks to a parking lot where, if you're a female employee at night, you might be a little wondering about your safety.
Yeah.
So they're all kind of tied together. AT&T and Stan Key's letter, the CEO, he talked about the need to how work has changed in the last few years. And AT&T is well known for having a pretty strict 5-day in-office mandate. A lot of workers have already left because of that. They've said, I don't want to do that commute 5 days a week, even though we all did it, even though all our office workers did that 4 or 5 years ago. Things have changed.
So this is kind of survival for the company, too, to not hemorrhage employees who have changed.
I think that's part of it. I've seen that. I mean, I don't know exactly where all the AT&T employees lived,
right,
but we talked to a few. We talked to a few after the news broke, and there was generally like, hey, that's going to be a better commute for me. There are also some folks, if you lived like south, even of Dallas, or maybe east, Mesquite,
that's
gonna
be
Garland,
rough. Yeah,
that could be a long drive. Or even Irving, you live west,
yeah,
right? You have to, so a longer drive for other people. But overall, I think you'd say they're responding to a lot of employees live in the northern suburbs. I mean, a lot of employees live downtown, too. It's going to be a longer commute for them. Younger employees, maybe on the tech side or marketing, etc. But yeah, ultimately, you'd say there's driven by this need to adapt to the workers who are living up north, not wanting to be in, like, they're sticking with the 5-day a week in office. John Stanky has been very clear. He thinks that's their culture. They lie in the sand. So they're responding to that. You can't brush aside the downtown, you put it really well, like the feel of downtown. You can't brush those aside. Those have kind of been minimized by AT&T, or we didn't talk about that in this letter to employees, maybe by choice, but they're part and parcel, kind of part of the same issue.
So they're going to have 54 acres up in the legacy area there in Plano,
here in Plano. At the old ADS headquarters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to put in an asterisk here, though, because that Wall Street Journal article that Whiteley's talking about was saying, I think it said that Dallas was the second highest vacancy rate in the country. They were relying on, one set of data. You look at other sets of data, though, like from Market Beat, from Yardie. They say that there's plenty of other places around the country, big cities, San Francisco, L.A., Austin, Seattle, Denver, Detroit, Phoenix, that have higher vacancy rates in their downtowns than Dallas does. Why, okay, why is there such a difference there? I mean, you're the encyclopedia of business knowledge here, Will. Why do we see such a difference in that metric?
Well, you kind of answered the question. Like, there's many different ways to calculate that. So I don't know. I've seen many different studies, too. Don't know specifically what ones you're talking about, but you could look at occupancy rate, so how much space is leased in buildings. You can look at how much space is occupied, like how many people are regularly in the office in those places. And Dallas is kind of has a lot more return to office in some places. Or, like, just think about AT&T. There are a lot of companies here. Texas was always kind of, during the pandemic, much more, opening back up and things like that.
And they want that FaceTime. They want you there.
Yeah, so maybe you have more space leased in downtowns across the country, but it's empty 3 days a week or two or whatever. You can look at
that
cell phone data. There's a company called Placer AI that is like cell phone data.
Yep.
How occupied is your downtown? And I think we're back to close to pre-COVID levels, much more so than other cities. So there's like a lot of downtown traffic. Some of that's tourists, of course, going to the AT&T district, etc. But like, there's a lot of people downtown. Well, in pockets of downtown, I should say.
Sure.
It kind of like varies where you are in downtown. And especially uptown is doing pretty well and thriving. So I don't know the exact answer, but there are, to your point, there are plenty of studies that show downtown Dallas is doing relatively well, or at least is keeping up with others. So it depends.
Will, when you look at it, as someone who lives near downtown, who's worked downtown for almost 20 years now, this is terrible news for downtown Dallas. And no matter how City Hall tries to spin it, I'm not talking about uptown, not talking about Victory Park, this is not good news for downtown Dallas. Zoom out for us, though. And can you give us some context on this? How does Dallas recover from this? Where does it go next? How does it fill any of these office towers? Regardless of the metric you use, it still has places to fill.
Yeah. You talked about kind of the spin that's being put on it. And I think it's, I think it is a spin job. Like, because what you said, like, what are they going to say? You can't be like, woe is me in your statement afterward.
Yeah.
They talk about Yall Street. They talk about the financial services sector.
That's all in Uptown and Irving and places like that, isn't it?
That's exactly. It's kind of missing the point when they talk about that. Like, the Texas Stock Exchange has an office in Knox, Henderson.
Yeah.
The NASDAQ doesn't really have an office yet. I don't think that anybody's reported where it's going to be, but it could be in Irving. It could be somewhere not Dallas. And NYSE Texas is at Old Parkland, so not downtown. So I think that kind of misses the mark when they talk. I mean, there are still services. There are still financial jobs downtown, plenty of them. Comerica's still there. They're still there.
Yeah, for now.
So they're still there. It's not like they're emptying out, but I think I think that's just kind of spin on it, to your point. So I don't think it's the financial services in Yall Street, at least not in the immediate term. I mean, I think one thing that you can go back on is the increase in the residential use of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's lots of pockets of dense residential activity, which means restaurants, which means some, like, there's pocket parks that are cool to check out. We were just talking about Manhattan Beer Co., you know, brewing,
sure,
creative uses.
Does that keep going away
from office. I think it's away from office is, or there's some office, but not as heavily dependent on office. Projecting a little bit here, but I think that's what you'd want to do if I was like Linda McMahon, Dallas EDC boss, the mayor, the city manager. I'm not thinking of what office tenants can I bring in necessarily. I mean, you want some of that still.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get a big company or multiple to fill some of the AT&T space, to fill the Comerica bank tower space. So when we talk about Comerica maybe leaving, I mean, who knows what they decide? Maybe they want to plant a flag downtown. But if they do go out, we had a story not too long ago that the owner of Comerica Bank Tower wants to redevelop it, right? Turn some of it into hotel space, put new stuff on the ground floor, spruce it up when their lease runs up. So they're already thinking. So the big money, if you are like, what are they thinking? They're already thinking, how can we get less reliant on office space downtown? And I think
is
that's
that
pretty
good
telling.
Strategy though.
Maybe.
But you're banking on the younger people moving downtown. There aren't many families downtown, but if these corporate jobs are moving out into the suburbs, and maybe some are on Knox, Henderson, and Uptown, is that going to pay off?
It's an interesting corporate kind of strategic decision you're getting at, because what we haven't talked about is Goldman Sachs is building the huge campus, I guess it's Uptown, like,
sure,
in Victory area.
The Perot, behind the Perot Science.
Effectively, it's right down the road, proverbially, from where AT&T is now. It's just in a different section.
Yeah, not too far away. And it's going to be... So what are companies trying to attract? And I think Goldman really wants the young, right out of business school talent.
Yeah.
There'll be senior level people too, but young, you know, that want to live uptown, live Katy Trail. Whereas AT&T has young talent too. It's huge. It's 10,000 employees in Dallas. There's tons of different demographics, where they live, age range, but there's a lot of homeowners that live in Collin County. So I think there's different situations for different companies. What I would hesitate to do is paint everyone like everyone wants to be in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Remember, this is like, I guess the point I would make, Jason, is it kind of like fluctuates over time. 2018-19, you guys remember like the Amazon HQ2?
Yep.
Amazon was looking for their second headquarters. They wanted an urban area. Dallas was actually one of the finalists.
Sure.
I believe there was a site right by City Hall.
Yep.
That was kind of...
It's where the Uber site
like the
went
Cedars,
in, wasn't it?
Right?
No, I think it was on the Deep Ellum side, wasn't it?
Maybe. Like, I know Mike Hoke has talked about his new park development down there being a contender. I know City kind of put together a bigger bid.
Sure.
Don't have all the details in front of me, but Dallas was in the running. And Amazon only wanted urban sites. They even, like, laid out in their RFP what they wanted within certain population sizes, still had to be close to an airport-ish, but they wanted urban. And it seemed like a lot of stuff was going urban, was going high-rise, etc. And then COVID happened, and there was a huge wave of, like, we want big urban sprawling campuses, where it's just my company, one campus, acres of parking. So it kind of always goes back and forth. And you're seeing a shift now, or at least you see AT&T doing this. And so how does it fit into, like, one of the points I think is really interesting to think about, how does this fit into the way we've been framing it? Is it's the northward movement of kind of the corporate center of gravity. We've already seen plenty of that. Like, that's already been in, like, this is one of the biggest signifiers,
sure,
yet, that this company that's been in Dallas, not forever, but since 2008, they've called Dallas home. They're one of those kind of corporate citizens. They donate, employees volunteer, big impact. Them upping and moving is a huge signifier. So it adds to that. It really, really signifies that trend we're talking about.
Has it happened? Do you think that the center of gravity, corporate business-wise, is Plano now, the legacy area.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, no offense to Dallas, to what they're doing down there. And I mean, that's why the Dallas EDC was created. A couple of years ago, all these corporations were going to the suburbs. They said, we should be talking to companies, attracting them, trying to recruit them to Dallas proper. So the Dallas Economic Development Corporation wasn't created. And I think they will have some corporate wins. I don't think it's off the board. I think Goldman shows there's momentum there. I think there will be other corporate wins, relocations, investment, etc. But in some ways, the AT&T move is natural. Like, if you were saying, all right, a Fortune 100 company is going to move to DFW, where are they going to land? You would say Plano or mm-hmm. Frisco. You would say Collin County.
Yeah.
That would just be the natural, like, they could go to Dallas, but the natural answer would be, oh, probably Collin County. There's just this low level of friction to building up here. There's more space. Plenty of your workforce would live up here.
Houses being built like crazy.
They're still building lots up in Salina, farther north. There's the toll roads.
Yep.
It's just this, it's like this natural low friction way to do it. And if you go campus style, you don't have to contend with maybe as much, you know, downtown politics, the zoning, etc. So it's just a natural place to land. Dallas will still have plenty, I think, announcements. I think the Dallas EDC is doing pretty good work. They were involved, of course, when you're talking about AT&T and trying to hold on to them. But I think you'd say the natural place you land is the suburbs. So it's kind of like, I get that. Not to minimize that it's still a massive loss for Dallas.
Sure. What should the city of Dallas be doing right now, do you think? Besides cleaning up the homelessness, which they can't get a handle on, besides restaffing police, which they're trying to do, what should Dallas be doing right now for downtown, for its central business district, not the pretty uptown, but for CBD downtown?
I think you kind of hit on like where they need to start, and that's where they've invested money. Homelessness, public safety, kind of quality of life issues downtown. Because AT&T has talked about the issues at their campus for years. That wasn't a surprise. I mean, I think it was 2 or 3 years that AT&T, the city, had been engaged, like, what do we do? Hire private security for this. Like, that's been ongoing. So I think it starts there. And DDI, the city, they tout progress on lower violent crime downtown. They have this initiative, I think it's called Safe in the City. Mm-hmm. A lot more officers dedicated to downtown. Which, why wouldn't you have done that when you... I think there's a realization at City Hall that downtown won't save itself. So that you actually have to invest. Like, why wouldn't you have more officers stationed downtown, a major precinct? I guess on the flip side of that, you'd say, well, everyone's moving out of downtown. Like, who cares about downtown? But I think there's a recognition that downtown won't save itself, and you have to invest in things like the meat and potatoes stuff. Roads as well.
These are the basics, man.
I know. I keep driving past on my way to the WFAA studio, the reconstruction there in front of the convention center. Like,
yeah.
They're working on roads.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that downtown.
Yeah.
Basic government stuff.
Yeah.
But they're doing those things. And I think that's where it starts, because it's really hard to get a CEO to come into town, meet with the Dallas EDC, and come downtown and see, you know, unhoused people on the streets, see potholes everywhere, and think, I can imagine this, you know?
So they're making some progress, but is it too little, too late?
I think there's signs of progress. It's hard to tell. And
yeah.
Too little, too late... It was too little too late for AT&T. I mean, the Safe in the City initiative was rolled out, and they're touting these improvements. But if AT&T decided they want to be in a suburban location and they don't want to deal with, you know, employees told us they have a garage that's blocks away. So if you're leaving late at night, you're walking block, like you're not on, your parking garage isn't right there. And maybe nothing happens, maybe, but just the concern about my wife walking home from work at night.
You know,
I would think about that. So if AT&T wants that suburban, the opposite atmosphere, nothing Dallas could do was going to stop that.
Yeah,
so I get some of their...
You've been close to this, though. Did Dallas do everything that it could have done here? Did you get the sense that they were going aggressively enough to save this?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so. I think that they... I don't know exactly what they threw at the wall, you know? I will say this, no one was talking about it publicly until we wrote the first story in August. Hey, they're considering this. And then all of a sudden, the Dallas EDC meetings are like, oh yeah, we're talking to AT&T, by the way, everybody. We're trying to do this.
So they wanted people to know that
meetings.
We've been on it.
Yeah, and maybe it's just window dressing. But I was in meetings, I was talking to people who knew much more than I do about those discussions going on. And yeah, they tried. Kimberly Tolbert, you know.
City manager.
Yeah, the city manager of Dallas. Dallas EDC. They got in there. They got in there. I don't hear much complaints about they weren't involved. Now, what did they offer? I don't know. What were the negotiations like, or were there negotiations? I don't know. Maybe that would have swayed them, but it wouldn't have created a suburban campus in the middle of downtown.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you the opposite of this whole conversation about Dallas not doing enough and Dallas being in the hole here. For a sprawling region like Dallas-Fort Worth, does downtown really matter?
That's a great question. I think the AT&T move, we're in the first full week of January 2026. I think the AT&T move will be the biggest story of the year, or one, at least one of. It's hard to see a bigger one. And it's not just because of AT&T, which is huge with its 10,000 employees, all their names everywhere, huge corporate citizen, but because of what it means about that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Man, there's some great... I'm not the person with the answers to that. I think there's some great research on what does a downtown mean and how much, you know, how much weight you should put on a giant corporate tenant. I would argue it is hard, though, to have a thriving downtown CBD without a flagship tenant, mm-hmm. without a giant, you know... Okay, so we were talking about the biggest public companies based in downtown, headquartered in Dallas, sure. rather. So if AT&T moves out, none of the top five are based in Dallas. You keep going down, you get to like CBRE is based in Dallas. They relocated their headquarters here in the last, I don't know, 10 years-ish. So they're a Dallas-based company. But CBRE is not a huge job creator. I mean, they've got lots of brokers around the country, but they're right. not occupying a whole tower, right?
Right.
You've got HF Sinclair, big energy company. You've got Southwest, which is still in Dallas, still at Love Field. But who is the corporate leader? Who's the one that fills the boards? Who's the one that controls the room at the Dallas Regional Chamber meeting or the Dallas Citizens Council? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think it is hard to have a really big, robust downtown business culture without a like anchor tenant. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe someone else would step up, and maybe... But does it really matter? I don't know. Because the Wall Street Journal story you talked about, the whole premise of that, we've written similar, but that's a good example. Like, DFW is thriving. It's growing. It's one of the fast-growing metros in the country.
Yeah.
Plano, Salina, Frisco, boom, 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 especially farther north. Does it matter if you don't have a really strong downtown Dallas? Mm. You can live up here in Plano and never go into downtown Dallas. There's plenty of cultural options up here now.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not the really fine art stuff, museum, opera. There's plenty to do up here. And if all you care about is a cheap house, not too far from your job, yeah. So it doesn't matter. I think that is what we need to think about. And because do you want the Dallas EDC to offer oodles of incentives to keep AT&T downtown? You know, it's kind of a moot point because they're not. But do you want them to really, really incentivize AT&T to stay out of town when the corollary is doesn't matter? Like, do we want to spend a lot of public resources to keep AT&T downtown? I don't know.
And that always drives a lot of people crazy when that happens, too. Is there a potential that this is a huge domino that once you push it down, momentum starts building and other companies start eyeing the exits, too, because they just think, gosh, this isn't as viable. Like, maybe we should think about moving, too.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help in that regard. I think any CEO you'll ask will tell you in public, like when they're speaking, and just like, we are making our own decision what's best for us. Comerica CEO Kurt Farmer isn't going to say, yeah, AT&T did it, so, or the Mavericks like, oh, yeah, we're going to follow suit. But I think if you're a CEO and you're making a decision like that and you see the momentum and you just see what's happening, it just adds another check mark to what you're thinking about. Like, do I want a suburban campus? Do I want to be a – if AT&T is a big customer or I want them to be a big customer, should I want to be closer to them? So it doesn't help. It doesn't, I don't think, certainly won't be cited on the surface as like, ah, we're doing all this because of AT&T or because of the, but other companies are already eyeing the exits, like you said. They're already thinking about their future because does downtown matter? Such a great question to ask, a great question to wrestle with and just think about us as Dallasites or North Texans. What do we want? So Comerica, what are they going to do? Will the Dallas Stars leave? Will the Dallas Mavericks leave? Like, lots of other big questions spawn from that, and it certainly feels like another reason you would consider other locations.
And Whiteley and I were talking about this. If the Mavericks and the Stars leave, what's left? We have WNBA played in Dallas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you would have your professional men's basketball team. your professional hockey team, your professional baseball team, and your professional football team.
All in the suburbs.
All in the suburbs. All in another city.
Your biggest public headquartered bank. Well, actually, Texas Capital is a little bigger in some ways. They're in uptown.
Yeah.
Not downtown.
Are they in uptown? Or I thought they were...
Yeah.
Texas Capital's uptown, like right across the freeway. Well, Comerica could leave. So, yeah, what's left? It's interesting. Thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Interesting story, maybe.
Let's talk about the sporting issue, because that's the other massive issue staring down the mayor, the city council, and Kim Tolbert, the city manager here. You know, there's talk that they want to tear down City Hall. That's up in the air. Now there's this backlash, people saying save City Hall, the IMP building that's so fantastic and unique, unlike any place else. How likely is that? And secondly, how likely is it that the Mavericks decide, listen, we can find plenty of cheap space to build everything we want in one of these suburban cities?
Yeah, the IMP building looks pretty cool, but you've been inside, I'm sure.
Plenty of times, yeah.
Very interesting layout.
It's not very functional. It's
I don't
pretty,
know if it's conducive
it's,
to...
Right.
That's just being there just a handful of times. I mean, it does kind of feel like the seat of city government. It's like low ceilings and not a ton of light unless you're, you know, with those nice, beautiful windows on the outside. It's interesting. We had some great quotes in one of our stories that, you know, City Hall is almost, well, in some ways, I mean, it's a huge, huge story. What are they going to do with it? But it's almost like, well, no one wears IMP jerseys. A lot of Mavericks, a lot of Luka jerseys still, a lot of Mavericks jerseys still around. Like, no one, another architect was telling us, like, it's not even the best IMP building in Dallas. There's three or four Fountain Place. There's better IMP buildings. But I don't know what they do. I really don't have insight into that.
What's your gut, though? You've watched plenty of this stuff. Do you think City Hall gets scraped for a new NBA arena?
I think that given Dallas's history and given those things we said about the building and even the city employees not necessarily loving it, I think pragmatically they would think, where else can we do it and save money? I think it would be knocked down. I actually don't know if it's the best spot for an NBA arena from what I've heard sources, real estate folks. It's not quite big enough to what Rick Welts and the Mavericks have said they want, 30 to 50 acres, because they want to build the entertainment district around it where they can capture revenue all throughout the year from fans, food, retail sales, all that stuff.
Do they get a better deal now, though, because AT&T is moving north?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's without insider knowledge. Let me be very clear.
I think so, too, yeah.
I think AT&T's moving, you're like, we can't lose the Mavericks. Yeah. But the Mavericks have also said that it is so leverage, maybe, or just a point to think about. Yeah. But the Mavericks have always said they want to stay in City of Dallas. I know there's discussion about Las Vegas Sands owners also own an Irving site next to the old Texas Stadium, ironically. Those could be connected, sure. But they've been pretty earnest, or upfront at least, about Mavericks want to stay in Dallas proper. This has been publicly discussed. Valley View Mall site, the old Valley View Mall, I think, is a contender. I've heard from quite a few real estate sources.
My money's still on that. Valley View?
It's pretty big.
It's a huge site. It's next to major arteries to get people in and out. It's between downtown Dallas and where?
Yep.
Plano and Frisco, where all the development has been going. I think it's a natural fit, but again, I don't have any insider
knowledge
either.
What do you know?
I have nothing.
Breaking news.
I bring nothing to the table.
Right.
No, I think it's been seen as, it's not an unlikely contender. It's not like, I think the first time I heard Valley View, I was like, no. You know, I've been to a Mavs game. It's downtown. It's very central. But for all those reasons, I think it is a smart possibility. There was just a report that came, I think it was AIA or some architecture group that was defending IMP's City Hall building and floating other sites, ones that we've reported and others have talked about, and that's the as part of a convention center redo, maybe, where the Wings are going to play in the redeveloped auditorium kind of site.
Right.
There was another site kind of with City Hall and behind it, and I can't remember the third site, but there's other sites more central to downtown, too. I thought a really interesting site, it's probably too far off, but it was what y'all talked about with Clay Jenkins on the Inside Texas Politics podcast. Mm. The county jail site is going to be redeveloped, but that's probably too far out for Mavs right now.
Yeah.
But there are other sites, not just Valley View, but I would, again, no insider knowledge, but I would assume Dallas Mavericks stay in Dallas, and the city, while they do, city leadership might feel they really need to, like they can't lose this Mavs too, I think the Mavs feel the same way. I think they feel closely tied.
How about the hockey team, though? Dallas Stars. Everything I'm hearing is momentum.
Plano.
Momentum is saying Plano is where they go. What does your gut tell you on that?
Yeah, I could see that. That's also closer to a lot of fans on the north side and to their headquarters in Frisco. Their practice facilities, I think, are in Frisco.
Yeah.
Willow Bend, I thought originally was a weird site. It's maybe not as accessible as some of the others. Like we had heard from sources about the Star has a lot of empty space.
That's yeah.
In Frisco.
Where the Cowboys are. Yeah.
Yep. So it wasn't the first thought, but I've seen quite a bit of discussion and reporting in the morning news and others about Willow Bend and why it makes sense.
It's got a huge footprint as well. Yeah.
I don't think it's not confirmed or any sort of like, I'm not even sure the Stars know they want to leave. I don't think they know yet whether they want to leave Dallas.
Yeah.
But that's, if you were going to weigh the balance of the two, I think the Stars seem like discussions are much more open to that possibility.
Yeah, but just like with the Mavs, their hand is certainly strengthened now with the loss of AT&T from downtown Dallas.
True.
Can we ask here, you know, we've focused on one end of this. What is Plano doing right? I mean, Plano is aggressive. They're going after this. They are touting what they've got, and they've got a lot.
Yeah, they're elated, I think. I mean, the mayor, John Munns, was talking about, you know, already all the momentum that they've, like, building on the momentum and, like, a next generation kind of, like, foreseeing more of these coming, right? And there is more, there is a little bit more sites in the Legacy area. It's getting kind of built out, but there are some more sites. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge deal for them. All those loss we're talking about in terms of jobs and tax revenue, that shifts to Plano. So huge for them. To my point earlier, it's not too surprising. It adds to all the big corporations, like, the relocations we've seen have tended to be to the northern suburbs.
Yeah.
So Fisher Investments landed in Plano as a giant, hundreds of billions of dollars investment advisor, operates around the country. That was in 2013 or 14. Toyota landed there.
Huge.
Liberty Mutual
has
a big campus.
JP
Morgan. FedEx is a giant office campus.
Raising Cane's.
Yes, actually at...
yes.
It's been a while, but I think that's next to the old EDS campus.
It's been a while,
build
yeah.
a really big... Yeah. support office or something. So
I can remember way back when, it sounds like an old man, but it wasn't that long ago, you'd drive around out there and there were actual, I mean, it was cattle and huge yep. pasture and an old behemoth JCPenney building, corporate headquarters out there.
Yeah, so what happens to the JCPenney building now is really interesting because we had heard from sources and reported that the old JCPenney, it's currently the current JCPenney too, but it's
yeah.
their old new JCPenney was a contender for AT&T. So now what are they going to do with that? So there's plenty of sites still up there. We have some really interesting photos from about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less, of the cows, yeah, the Longhorns, standing
it wasn't that long ago.
With the construction of Legacy West and Legacy behind them. It really wasn't too far. And no, so now think of that and think of Salina and Aubrey and Prosper.
Prosper,
like, how
yeah.
far does this keep going northward?
Yeah.
The center of gravity, I mean... Who knows if, but let's say it's Plano. If the center of gravity is in Plano, well, you have a lot of land up north that you can build in, and even northwest into Denton County area. So, like, how does that repeat or grow?
Will, does it matter if DART is kicked out of Plano by voters in May?
Does it matter less now if AT&T is moving up?
It doesn't seem like anybody.
I think it's important from a real estate development aspect and a future of Plano aspect. I think it's a less relevant now discussion. I mean, I think DART is a really interesting business story, and we've tried to cover it that way at Dallas Business Journal, as opposed to, like, okay, not every vote, not the politics of it, which there are plenty. And I thought Nadine Lee on your podcast did a great job of explaining some of the business rationale they're thinking of, and she talked about the long-term, you know, regional planning goals.
Yeah.
And I think that's smart because real estate developers love DART for the most part. Or many do.
Well, they can sell to it, right?
Yeah, you develop a
sure.
a train station or develop around a train station, like, look, we're a transit developer.
Right here.
Right,
right
being
here,
anywhere
you get off the
15
train.
Minutes. Yeah,
you don't need
exactly.
a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the train isn't going near AT&T site.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
so I don't think it really impacts as much. Maybe to Jason, your point, it's like you don't need DART or you don't need to be near DART to attract these large suburban campuses. But I think there are still plenty of real estate developers who want to see that. And long term, if Plano becomes more of a center of gravity and thus will have to become more urban, more dense, you would think, more building up, more multifamily, you would expect there to be some kind of level of public transit. And by maintaining it now, it becomes less expensive over time to go back, tear things up, put in new train lines or bring back trains. put a new infrastructure for that. So I think it's like a, depends on if you're thinking about the long term or you think about the short term in terms of the, I forget the number, but a significant amount of sales tax, a penny of sales tax in a booming city like Plano goes to DART, where it doesn't matter necessarily if you're an AT&T employee in some ways. In other ways, if you're an AT&T employee and you end up living in Plano, you want to take the train down to the Mavs game for now.
If they're there still.
If they're there still. So I think it's a question of how do you want to use that money now. But at the same time, AT&T picked them without, like, what would you do with that sales tax if it wasn't for DART? It could go to more economic development efforts. Well, you didn't need that for AT&T.
Yeah.
So, true. I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a really good question. It's not one I can really answer, but I think it speaks to the question you got to. Does a downtown matter? Does an urban environment matter? Can we be this big, thriving metroplex? We're going to replace Chicago, I forget when. Next 10 years, we'll be the third largest metroplex in the country.
Wow.
And we have these booming, we have multiple skylines in Frisco, Plano, beyond. Does it matter? What if downtown Dallas empties out? For the record, I think it's a horrible thing. I think Dallas is still kind of the beating heart of it in many ways. But does it matter? Great question to pose and to think about.
Well, last thing I have for you here, you guys are convening a panel later this month to discuss the 2026 outlook.
Thank you for mentioning that.
That's the 22nd of January, and I'm curious what, I mean, we're 7 days in as we record this podcast on January 7th, and we have this massive news with AT&T that just happened a couple days ago. If this is what 2026 is going to be like, man, what a year to come, huh?
It'll be hard. I'm going to do my best not to talk just about AT&T at that outlook. Linda McMahon with the Dallas EDC is a panelist, along with Steve Trolle with a partner, a real estate firm. He's a big research data guy, and Cullum Clark with the Bush Institute at SMU. Yeah. So he's kind of
he's been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta go listen to that. Yeah, just a very well, you know, he's just kind of the general economic picture. He does a great job of that. So we're kind of gonna go big and small picture, and I hope talk about the future of downtown. I'm gonna ask them, does it matter if downtown Dallas, you know, I'll steal that from you with credit.
Wow.
Credit to Yolitics.
Wow.
Exactly. Like, does that matter?
It's my praise.
Hopefully talk about that. What can be done? Did Dallas do enough? Should Dallas have done more? How do you not lose another one? And and we're focusing on the region as a whole, so hopefully talk about the boom up north and the Metroplex and affordability, especially is a big issue for people looking to buy a house right now. So all that wrapped up into one neat package. It's the 22nd of January at the Tower Club Dallas there in downtown.
Great place. A great downtown destination. So I always enjoy getting your emails, too, for people who want to see the latest breaking business news. How do they get your emails?
Thank you. DallasBusinessJournal.com. You can sign up for our morning and afternoon emails, breaking emails, the print product. We still are a weekly print publication if you prefer to get it that way. So DallasBusinessJournal.com or find us on Twitter, Instagram, X, I guess now.
X.
Yes.
X, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
All the places, even the ones that have changed names, you're there. My last thing for you is, you know, we've framed this as, you know, a sort of a tale of two cities, Plano and Dallas. Really, if you look at it, Dallas could also be considered a tale of two cities. I mean, you've got what's happening in downtown Dallas, and yeah, they've had some big losses, but then, you know, we've talked a lot about what's happening in uptown. On balance, you know, where's this going? Because you talk to so many people in the business world, and they say Dallas is becoming an epicenter, a financial epicenter in particular.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be just fine?
I mean, I think so. I'm long Dallas. when you look at it from New York or San Francisco, there's not a big difference between uptown and downtown. Right. You're like, it's right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on balance, yeah, I think that Dallas will be just fine without AT&T, or without the headquarters at least. But what do you want downtown Dallas to be? I mean, should we pose that to city leaders? Like, what do we want it to be?
Now is the time to think big if you're going to think big, isn't it?
Yeah, do you want it to be more of a residential destination, or entertainment and restaurants, a little bit of everything, all of the above? So I think what's needed is a discussion about what you want it to be. And maybe it could be a leader. Maybe, like, we're talking about, like, can DFW be thriving if Dallas is shrinking? Because, by the way, Dallas County, the population is shrinking, or kind of, like, stays even versus the northern suburbs. So the population center is shifting, too. So based on that question, you can say, oh, you know, what do we want? Well, now is the time to have leader. Like, we should stoke that discussion. And that's a great thing that DBJ, WFA could do and talk about, like, well,
you can
then
use
what,
that at the forum, too,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, what do we want that to be? I think that's what you need to consider now, because it could be a huge opportunity, too, to figure, like, maybe we'll be the first place to figure out the other thing to do with downtown when your companies want to be in big suburban office complexes and you have, you know, Dallas is a leader in tower conversions, taking office to residential. So maybe we want to do that. Like, maybe Dallas can be the first one. So instead of it's like, oh, what are we going to do with this moribund downtown? I mean, I say that with quotes. It's not,
yeah.
There's still a lot of thriving areas of downtown. But what do we want to do with this downtown? Maybe something completely different.
If you're going to reimagine yourself, do it now. It's like after you've been with somebody for a long time and they break up with you, that's your time to just redo everything.
That's a good way to put it.
It so really is, Wheeler.
It's top of mind for me. Top of mind for me.
18-year relationship, you know, what are you going to do? Go to the gym, going to invest in or go take some classes, learn Spanish, like.
Or just go crazy and do something totally different, you know?
Just wild out. No,
Dallas
I think,
needs to get to the gym, though, I think.
Or wild out, you know, something.
Good way to put it. What are they going to do?
Will, this has been excellent.
Yeah, man, fantastic.
And I knew it would be, and I don't know why we haven't had you on before now. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But as I always tell you, you have encyclopedic knowledge of what's going on here.
I talk to smart people. I'm not actually one of them.
I'm sorry well, you're talking
not today.
To one of these guys. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure. I'll come back when we talk about, you know, the next giant departure or incoming relocation.
Maybe an arrival. Yeah. Maybe an arrival.
The next podcast might be in Salina, though. You never know. Will, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys.